So if you had your Bibles this morning, stand to your feet as we look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 6 down to 7, and then jump to verse 21. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, and then we're going to jump down to verse 21. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from it fruit and ate. And she gave it also to her husband, and he ate. Verse 7. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Drop down to verse 21. God always provided provision. And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. You may be seated. ST this morning, sermon text this morning, dressed in Christ, be ready. Dressed in Christ, be ready. If you have been saved and you have been redeemed and you're on your way to heaven, you ought to be getting ready and living for the Lord to show up in any second. See, when God saved you, he dressed you in his righteousness. He didn't dress you in your righteousness and your thinking and your ability. He gave you all who he is. So let me give you the scriptures for this morning. You want to write them down. ST number one. Title of this message is Dressed in Christ, Be Ready. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, verse 21, which we've already read. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 1 through 14. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Luke 12, 35 through 40. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. And then verse 17. Now, just in case I don't get through with the sermon, let me mention these things. ST number 2. 5 things you need to know and remember. I'm going to keep mentioning these until the Holy Spirit tells me not to. When you're going through adversity, when you're going through problems in life, you got to remember these 5 things. They're going to help you. First of all, you got to remember God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Psalms 103, verse 19. God has established his thrones in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Do you believe God is in control? Or do you believe Satan is in control? If Satan was in control, then he's stronger than God. So whatever happens to you, a sovereign God knows all about it, and he has a purpose.
Amen.
I was looking at, telling my wife, Proverbs 16 and 4. God said he has made everything for a purpose, even evil. And I asked my wife, I said, well, why do you think he made mosquitoes? I think mosquitoes were made for no good, but God said he made them for a purpose. What's the second thing we need to let it sink in our spirits? God is good. Do you believe God is good?
Amen.
Psalms 107 verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because he's good.
Yeah.
And if you belong to the church, if you've been saved, the second verse ought to happen every Sunday. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary.
Oh, yeah.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
What's the third thing we need to know and remember? Remember that God loves you. Whatever you're going through, whatever problem that you're experiencing, God loves you. Romans 5 and 8. God demonstrated his love toward us, then while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you know he died for you? I say, do you know he died for you? What's the fourth thing that you need to let it sink into your memory and remember? God desires an intimate relationship with you. You know who's keeping you from being intimate with God? Don't point at nobody else. He's sitting or she's sitting in that seat right there. You are the one, the reason God's not intimate with you. Because he made you for himself.
Amen.
Matthew 11 and 28 says, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden. and I give you rest. You will never get no rest till you seek a relationship of intimacy with the true and living God.
Amen.
And what's the fifth thing we need to know and remember? God believes in you and he's pursuing you. Every day God comes down into your life and says, you want to spend some time with me? You want to pray with me? You want to talk with me? God says, I'm pursuing you. Why? Because I'm the one that believes in you. I know what I made you for.
Amen.
Romans 8:31 and Psalm 56:9 says, God is for us. And some translations say, God is for me. Do you believe that?
Amen.
So with that in mind, let's begin. Go back to ST number 1. And we want to follow the story that's in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 1 through 14. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 1 through 14. Verse 1 says, Jesus spoke to them again in a parable, saying, now when Jesus wants to drive home a point, he wants to give it to those that's going to get it, but he's also giving it to those that's going to go over their head. See, everybody's not going to believe what God is saying. So he gives it to them in a parable because those that are going to get it are going to say, God is speaking to me. And those not going to get it, they're going to go right over their head. That don't mean nothing to me. He's talking about somebody else. Verse 2, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
God the Father has and is preparing a wedding feast for his son Jesus Christ. And guess who the bride is? Us, the church. He's getting us ready to be wedded to the true and living God, his son.
Yes, sir.
Verse 3. And he went out, and his servants, his slaves, and he called them and said, who have been invited to the wedding feast? And they were unwilling to come. How many people have rejected the invitation of the Lord? Yesterday at the funeral, we gave the invitation. Nobody physically came forth. But I hope somebody came forth spiritually. Verse 4. And again he sent out other servants saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted livestock are all butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. Verse 5. But they paid no attention and went their way. God's knocking right now on your soul. And you ignoring it. Are you on your way to heaven? Are you sure? Are you sure? And behold, I have prepared a dinner. God said, I'm getting ready and I did all the preparations for this wedding feast. And it's going to be in heaven. Verse 5, but they paid no attention and went their way.
Yeah.
One to his own farm, another to his own business.
Yeah.
Verse 6, and the rest seized his slaves. Notice what they did? And mistreated them and they killed them. When you don't listen to God, you are trying to kill the message of the gospel that he's trying to reach you. And the servants that he's sending toward to get you that understanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Reverend Pound said it yesterday. If they hated Jesus, guess what they're going to do to you? So don't be surprised. Verse 7. And the king was enraged. And he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers. And set their cities on fire. There's going to be judgment for those that fight against the Lord. Verse 8. Then he said to his slaves, his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Didn't Israel reject the Lord?
Yeah.
Thank God he come to us as Gentiles.
Yeah.
Verse 9. Go therefore to the main highways, verse 9, and many as you have find there, invite to the wedding feast. God say, I'm still giving the invitation. I'm still inviting others. Verse 10. Those slaves went out into the streets and they gathered together all they found, both evil and good. Now pay attention to this.
Come on.
If you think you're right to go to heaven, you already been deceived. The Bible says nobody's worthy. Do you believe you're worthy?
Oh, Lord.
I say, you believe you're worthy?
Lord Jesus. Yes.
And notice what the Lord says in verse 9. Go therefore to the main highway, as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. And the servants, verse 10, and the slaves went out to the streets, and they gathered together all they found, both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. You know, I had a great time yesterday at the wedding feast of Aaron Watson. He got married, and it was a great time. But the same way that wedding feast was yesterday, the same wedding feast will be in heaven for us as saints to be married to the bride. And God's asking you, are you going to blame others, or are you going to accept the blame for yourself? See, the clothing that God wants to dress you with is the righteousness of Christ. A man says, I was trying to figure out which appliance was causing my clothes problem. I thought at first it was the dryers shrinking my clothes. But it turned out to be the refrigerator doing all the work. God is always testing you to see what kind of clothes are you wearing. Are you wearing his righteousness? Are you wearing his spirit? Are you wearing his mind?
Yeah, come on.
So what happened? Verse 11. And when the king, the Lord God himself is going to make sure this wedding feast is the way he wants it. The king came out and he looked over the wedding guests. The dinner guest. And he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. So now let me meddle. What kind of clothes are you wearing? Let me just cut to the chase. If it's not the Savior that died on that cross for you, if he died for you, you got the wrong clothes on. Notice what the king said. And he said to him, friend, Now, I'm going to tell you, the pastor did some more study on this, because I got to looking at it at first and I'm saying, nah, this man must have been lost. So as I got to looking at it, let me explain a little bit more. How did you come in here without wedding clothes? Now, back in that day, there were a lot of people that were poor. And since the king was king, he had access to a lot of things. So when he invited you, if you didn't have the clothes, you could have put them on. There were abundant clothes that you could have been dressed in. He would have provided so you could have been in the wedding feast. So evidently this person thought he was dressed well enough. Are you listening?
Come on.
This person thought that he was able to come in there and be dressed in his own stuff.
His own righteousness.
Notice what when the king asked him what his response was. And the man was what?
Speechless.
The man was what? The man was what? Couldn't say a word. When you stand before a holy God, you think you're going to give your argument? You think you're going to tell God, well, you ain't even able to say Speechless. Is this sinking in? I hope I scared the jeebies out of you. It's a fear of the Lord that begins with your understanding. If you ain't afraid of God, you already messed up. A holy God say everybody got to give an account. And when he says everybody, you know what that means? Everybody means everybody. See? And it starts with being thankful. See, when that man would have went over there and put on those clothes, he was showing thankful. Oh, you know what I didn't have was necessary to be it. I'm thankful. A four-year-old was asked to return thanks before Christmas dinner. And the family members bowed their heads in expectation. And he gave, and he began to pray, thanking God for all his friends, naming them one by one. And then he started giving thanks, God, for my mommy, for my daddy, for my brother, for my sister, for my grandma, for my grandpa, for all my aunts, all my uncles. And then he give God thanks for the food. He says, God, give thanks for the turkey and for the dressing and for the fruit salad and for the cranberry juice and for the pies and for the cakes, even for the cold whip. And then he paused for a long time, and then it was a long silence. And then the fella looked up at his mother and says, Mom, if I thank God for broccoli, won't he know that I'm lying? You have to give God thanks for what?
Everything.
You don't even have, you don't even need, the air you're breathing is not even obligated to God to give to you.
Come on now.
And he gives you breath and you won't turn around and praise him with the breath he gave you? See, ingratitude is real simple. Give God praise for everything. Follow me if you will. I want you to see in this text, look what happened. Verse 13. And the king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot and throw him into outer darkness. And in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the key to understand this passage is right there in verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. And what Jesus is trying to get us to see in this parable is God invites everybody to get saved.
Amen.
And that everybody that accepts Christ will be saved.
Amen.
But those that have made a decision to dress themselves in his righteousness are the few.
Yes.
So this person, now I look at this passage, it implies both. Mm-hmm. It implies a person that never was saved.
Mm-hmm.
But most of all, it implies a person that got saved but did not live for Christ.
Yes, there it is.
Come on.
And when you reject Christ, and when you stand before a holy God, God say, when you stand before me, it's going to hurt when you realize you didn't live nothing but for yourself.
Mm.
That's that outer darkness.
Mm.
For 1,000 years, you're going to see the church and the believers having a good time in a relationship with the Savior. And all you get to do is sit there and suffer.
Mm.
Am I helping you?
Amen.
You tell God where you are. You say, well, Pastor, where do you get that from? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. I want you to see. It's not us that saves us. It's God that saves us.
Yeah.
And even if you don't accept him and let him be seen now, that subject's going to come up again. And 2 Timothy 2 and 12 and 13, I want you to see this.
Yeah.
For those people that think, well, that person was lost and he's on his way to hell.
Mm.
Could be.
Mm.
But he could be saved, but he just didn't let the Lord live through him.
Mm.
Follow me if we are right there in verse 12.
Come on.
If we are faithless, verse 12, if we endure, we will also reign with him.
Mm.
And if we deny him, you notice what it says?
Mm.
He will do what?
Deny
us. So he told that man, since you didn't have those clothes on, you weren't dressed in my son, Jesus Christ, bind him hand and foot.
Mm.
But look what it says in verse 13.
Mm.
Pay attention, verse 13. This is a teaching church, and I'm teaching you the Bible. I'm not teaching you my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 13 says, and if you were faithless, that means you didn't live for the Lord at all.
Mm.
But because he saved you and his divine nature is in you, he says, he remains faithful.
Mm.
Why? If he say he gonna save you, he gonna save you. For he him cannot deny who?
Himself.
Why? Because he's living in you. Are we teaching?
Amen.
So when you know God has saved you and has redeemed you, why don't you step up your life and live for him? Stop living for yourself. If you really want a blessing in life, prioritize, I'm going to live for the Savior.
Amen.
I'm going to live for the one that died on that cross for me.
Mm.
And I've learned when you give yourself to the Lord, everything to him, God turn around and give everything else back to you.
Mm.
But the problem is we can't and won't sacrifice giving ourselves.
Because
we think we're going to lose everything.
Mm.
And initially, you do lose everything.
Mm.
But at some point, God's going to turn around and give it all back to you. And that's another lesson in and of itself when he talked to Peter and when he talked to the disciples.
Mm.
Let's look at another passage and tell us to get ready.
All right.
Turn to Romans chapter 13.
Mm. Come on.
Romans chapter 13, verse 14, short verse.
Mm-hmm.
It says, how? This is how you do it, folks. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Have you put him on?
Mm.
And make no provisions for the flesh.
Mm.
And it's regard to lust.
Mm.
It's your flesh that gets you in trouble. You do know that, right?
Mm.
As I was opening the doors of the church yesterday at the funeral, I was trying to teach people it's the sin that causes us to be separated from God.
Amen.
If you haven't been in the church to explain that, let me do it right now. Sin is the fallen nature.
Mm.
John says it's lawlessness.
Amen.
Pastor White tried to break it down so kids can get it. What is sin? Sin is a disease of the soul. Says, God, I ain't going to do what you want. It's in all of us. We're born into this world with that nature. Amen. And until you recognize that, you need God to help you.
Yeah.
Anybody ever have a lying lesson?
Uh-oh.
You better not throw your parents under the bus like that. It's already in you. You ever stole anything before? Dang, I guarantee you, not a parent any of them gave a person a stealing lesson. And just them two alone is already worthy to send you where?
To hell.
So now, what are you going to do with that response? So you know how messed up you are. God knows how messed up you are. But are you going to acknowledge what he said you are is the truth?
No, Lord.
And he said you fall short of the what?
Glory
of God. So follow me, if you will, to Luke chapter 12, verse 35 through 40. Be ready. God wants you to be ready. Verse 35. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. If the Lord showed up today, what would he find in your life? Would he find a lot of Jesus Christ in your thinking, or Jesus Christ in your response, a lot of Jesus Christ in your actions? Or would he see all of you? Verse 36. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. God is knocking right now on your soul. Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Are you sure you've been redeemed? Are you sure you belong to me? Next verse. Blessed are those whose servants, whose slaves, whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, that he will gird himself. Now pay attention to this. And be to serve. God is looking for servants on the planet to let Jesus be seen. And have them, notice the opposite takes place. If you're a servant, you're going to get served by God. And have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. You think it would be the other way around, right? That we're going to serve the Lord and we're going to let him sit at the table. You getting this? If you're really born again, God's flipping the script. Verse 38. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third, he finds them so. Are you listening? Blessed are those servants. Blessed are those slaves. Verse 39. And be sure of this, that if the head of the household had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have not allowed his house to be broken into.
Yeah.
Anybody going to let some thieves come by and you know they're on their way?
No.
I'm letting you know, if they getting ready to break in Pastor White's house, they're going to hear a click, click when they come through the door. I'm going to be ready. And if you ever heard a distinct sound of a shotgun, you'll know, whoa, whoa, it's unique. I remember my dad was first trying to get me to use a shotgun. I said, oh, I was scared for a lot of years. He said, come on out here, boy, let me show you how to use this thing. And when you click that thing, it got a distinct sound, click, click. It ain't like no other weapon. And what it shoots at, it hurts and destroys. So anyway, y'all, if anybody think about breaking Pastor White's house, you better tell them to think about it.
No, Pastor, no.
Those that are on the internet, you just got your invitation. But be sure of this, that if the head of the household had known in what hour the thief was coming, he would have not allowed the house to be broken into. If you know the Lord is getting ready to come back, what should you be doing? Should be doing what? Verse 40 is the answer. You too, Jesus say, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming back at an hour that you do not expect. Are you ready for his return? I say, are you ready for his return? I like this illustration that I ran across. It's talking about what's given. An attorney gathered an entire family for a reading of his will. And the relatives all came near far to see what he was about to give away in his will. And the lawyer soberly opened up the will and began to read. And the will said, to my cousin Ed, I leave my ranch. And to my brother Jim, I leave my money market accounts. And to my neighbor and my friends, Fred, I leave my stocks. But to my neighbor on the other side, named George, who always sat around and never did anything, I want him to remember I lived up to my promise. Hi, George. I remembered him in my will. God is looking for your response to Christ. When people are ugly to you, when people are saying stuff to you, is Christ being seen? See, that's what Jesus is coming back for. He's coming back for the fruit of Christ in your response. Let's get to the closing passage. He says in Colossians chapter 3, these are the things Jesus is expecting to be seen in your character. Verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. So as to those who have been chosen of God, underline that. Have you been chosen? Huh? Have you been chosen? Are you on your way to heaven?
Amen.
Have you been redeemed?
Amen.
Only person can answer that 100% in the sanctuary today is who?
Me.
It's you. I can't answer for you. I can only go by what you say.
Amen.
But have you been chosen by God?
Redeemed.
Holy?
Yeah.
Beloved?
Mm-hmm.
Put on a heart of, underline this in your Bible, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Verse 13. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whosoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you. Now, has God forgiven you of your sin?
Thank you.
Has God forgiven you of your sin?
Yes.
Well, you need to take on that same mindset, because I've learned as the pastor, people going to do stuff.
Amen.
And they're going to specifically design it just for you.
Yeah.
Amen.
And God's looking at your response. What's coming from you? See, it's no accident. Remember those five things? God is sovereign. So what he did was he allowed these things to help build and develop your character. Verse 14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. You know what unifies the church? And what I really love about Aaron's wedding yesterday, it was everybody, all nationalities. Black, white, Hispanic. You know, and that's what the church is supposed to be like. And I'm just encouraging you. You want to tell everybody about the good news of the gospel. Just don't tell your black brothers and sisters. Tell all your white brothers and sisters. Tell your Hispanic, your everybody. Because God gave the invitation to who?
Oh.
Everybody. Verse 17. Put that up there, and I'm going to do my human, then I'm going to do verse 17. See, you got to be nice. You know, something nice to wear and let Christ be seen. I like this. Unable to attend a funeral after his father died, a son who lived far away called his brother and told him, do something nice for your dad and send me the bill. One brother talking to another brother. Do something nice for your dad since he has passed and send me the bill. So later on after the funeral, he got a $200 bill, which he paid. The next month, he got another bill for $200, which he paid. Figuring that it was something going on incidental, he called. He said the bill was $200 and it keep arriving every month. That's what he asked his brother. So he says, finally, the man went to his brother and asked his brother, what's going on? And find out why these bills keep coming in. So the brother said, well, you told me to do something nice for my dad, for our dad. So I rented him a tuxedo to be buried in. Hello. Until that tuxedo show up. Why? Your clothing is what God wants to be seen through you. Verse 17. Whatever you do, are you listening? In word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father.
Yeah.
Is Jesus Christ being glorified through the stuff that come out through your hands or your feet and through your mouth? That's what Jesus saved you for. He saved you for you to be the living sacrifice on the planet. And you know what we tell God? I want to show up. I'm going to do it my way. And you know what? When you do that, you're going to be like that man that lose that reward. See, the reward has been put in place for you to deny yourself and let Christ be seen. Now let me just throw, I know this is one of those heavy punches that most Christians are guilty of. When's the last time you read your Bible? You mean you ain't read your Bible since last Sunday? I know some of us went further than that. Shame on you. You say you're a Christian? Do you eat that way? Huh? So you ain't ate in a month, right? Was the ninth commandment again, D?
Don't lie.
I ain't ate in a month. Well, if you spiritually haven't gotten God's word, that's what has happened. God say, I save you that you may get into my word. And the way my word does is it helps you grow and develop. I remember in my own development process, the way I grew and developed to listen to God's call is I started reading God's word.
Amen.
And as I was reading God's word every day, people say, man, he done lost his mind. He done got it. He done turned into a fanatic. That was God grabbing my thinking. See, my thinking was so messed up. Don't say nothing, Sister White. It took God to renew my mind.
Amen. All our minds. Yeah.
See, God gave me a new way of thinking, a new perspective, a new way I allow him to be seen through me. And that's all that God wants to do for you. So we're going to stop this message today. Dressed in Christ, be ready. Put that title up again for me there, Jordan. Dressed in Christ, be ready.
Amen.
So as we give the invitation today, if you're here today...